And the prophecy read that one day, like the phoenix arose from the ashes, that a boy would be born unto a family in the slums. This boy would go on to use the knowledge he gained while fighting for survival in his streets to become a great leader. And in time, that boy would grow to become king!
With the youngest in charge, respected from east to west like he was running the mob. Dictating, ain't taking orders from no one but God. I know you niggas is broke, cause I know what you charge. You niggas wishing for a fountain, miss one in my garage. As black as Ligari, right next to a platinum Ferrari. You niggas.
Yo, what's up? Welcome to another episode of the Cold World Podcast. Fun stuff. I've been away from home. I've been out doing some really dope stuff, things that I find fun anyway. And I wasn't able to get a podcast out. So I was in Atlanta at Morehouse with more than 200 black educators. That was pretty dope. I'm going to talk about that. Yep, I'm really going to talk about all that blackness. If you don't like hearing about blackness, you probably don't want to hear this podcast. I like talking about blackness. Anyway, and then in a few days, well, actually tomorrow, not in a few days, tomorrow I'll be heading out to New Orleans for a different conference to be around some other dope people. But there's a few things that was on my mind, man. I haven't talked to folks in a minute. Let me start with the African American Corps Member Summit, which is what it was called. So at this summit, we bring together a bunch of just black teachers from across the country that's going to their second year teaching. And, you know, they get some professional development and things like that. But what we really talk about is liberation for black people. What does that mean? So I personally believe, I mean, we may not be enslaved anymore, but I think that there are a ton of factors that's holding black people back. And then when we talk about the ways in which we break those chains, one of those ways, a really strong way, is through education. And what one has to really understand is what happened to the black educator, right? So Brown versus Board is a really important, pivotal time in this country's history. It's often celebrated. But there's also some unintended consequences from that decision. And what happened was the dismantlement of the black educator. I mean, during segregation, you had white folks that was being taught by white folks and black folks being taught by black folks. So when that legislation passed and schools were forced to desegregate and busing and things like that started to happen, well, the largest casualty was the black educator. And those black kids started to get bused to white schools. Now, listen, we live in this world where everybody tries to make things really simple, right? And I think that there are just some issues that are really complicated. Because I'm not saying that desegregation shouldn't have happened. And I'm not saying that that wasn't just something in our history that needed to be addressed. But I'm stating the fact that the black educator was a casualty from that, right? And so over the years, it's constantly, you know, black and brown kids, poor kids, have just not done as well from an educational standpoint. So now, if you're a black educator now, it's really important that you understand your role. And yeah, your role is to teach really well, and your role is to help prepare young people for what they need to be. But there's something special about a black kid being taught by a person that they can identify with from that standpoint. Now, I'm not saying that I know some really dope white and Asian and like teachers. It's a bunch of them. But something that's apparent is like it's not we need like more diversity in that field, right? And I'm not even just talking about teachers. I'm talking about educators. I think anyone can be. I think educator is a broader term. I think if you mentor a group of young people on a consistent basis, you in essence are an educator of sorts. So anyway, so we were at this place and we allowed these folks to really touch into that. And we allowed them to be around just rooms full of Black educators. Like for some of these people, this is the first time they've ever experienced that. This is the first time they've ever been in a hall with 250 Black educators. And it's just a dope experience. And, you know, man, the goal is freedom. And freedom can look a lot of different ways to different people. And we talked about that for 3 days straight. And it was a lot of folks that just had parts of them, like, touched that they just didn't even know was there or it existed. And it was a really beautiful thing. I really enjoyed it. And I'm going to enjoy this next conference that I go to that's more focused on activism and activism that's going on in the United States and ways to lift those issues up and how to do that well. But yeah, man, it's just really interesting, man, because when I look at these things, when we talk about, let me bring all this stuff back. So we talk about this, the thing I went to in Atlanta, we talk about where I'm going to go do in New Orleans. And then I juxtapose that with like my Facebook feed, and I live in a really liberal place. I live in a really progressive area, and I'm well known, like it's well known that I'm progressive, right? It's well known that I believe that the majority of things I believe in tend to fall on the side of progressivism. I've gotten into many a fight because of those beliefs, right? I mean, I served as vice chair of the California Young Democrats for a year, which was fun and awesome and dope, right? But I'm always like the one that's pushing that envelope as well, saying that the progressive movement needs to take up more Black issues. Now, by no means, I'm not a conservative. The politics don't normally align for me, and I don't think they take up Black issues either. I think they actually do damage. That's just me, you know. But I definitely feel the same way, like in progressive spaces as well. Let me give you an example, okay? An example is, if there's ever an issue about, let's look at gay marriage, right? So how do I feel about gay marriage? I think that you should be able to marry whoever you want, regardless of what my personal beliefs are. I think that is a legal issue. And I think that folks deserve that right, right? And whatever, I think that your personal issues on that matter just are notwithstanding. That's what I believe. And there was this huge rally around that, right? And I think the writing was on the wall that was gonna happen. Like it's like that could fail in court X amount of times, but you just knew that at some point that was gonna change. Now, what I didn't hear, what doesn't come up for me, is I don't see the type of platform being built for Black issues in the same way as we did there. So another example is the housing crisis. It's crazy, right? Gentrification is crazy. And you hear a lot about this now in San Francisco. And I know a lot of people disagree with me on this and feel like people have always been saying that Black people getting moved out of the Bay Area and all this and that and the third. But I'm telling you, what I've seen with my eyes, with both of them, and sometimes I wear glasses with four of them because I don't always see well. What I've seen with my eyes is a much more concerted effort to combat gentrification once white folks started getting moved out of San Francisco when tech started to settle in. I just haven't seen the white folks be as ferocious as they are now. I haven't seen people, you know, I mean, people are organizing and getting in front of Google buses and doing a whole bunch of stuff. And I'm not saying that's not a just cause. I just feel like Black folks are always the last ones. It's all it's The issue is always last until it starts to affect white people. And then we go into what progressive politics are, right? I mean, that's just how I personally feel. I know what side of the ballot I'm probably going to vote on depending on certain things. But listen, man, when I say this, I mean this, yo. Like I'm a black man first. I just want to be real clear on that. Like, I am a black man first. And here's the thing. Because I'm pro-black doesn't make me anti anything else. Like, my grandfather is as white as they come. I posted a picture up of him earlier, a few weeks ago or whatnot. He is like Italian Creole. Like, he is, he got some stuff in there with him, but like, dude's white. You know what I'm saying? Like, my pro-blackness does not. Like, I don't want to see anybody do worse because I'm proud to be black. And it's so hard for people to say that. It's always such an issue. It makes people so uncomfortable when somebody's talking about how proud they are to be black. Like, it really makes people uncomfortable. It really makes them squirm. I've seen it. I've done it. I wasn't even yelling or trying to be intimidating. It just was, I just think that that's something that's part of my culture, and that's just really dope. Right. And I just always bug out at how folks will take as much from our culture. They just cherry pick the things that they want. Oh, they be cherry picking. Didn't Kylie Jenner just like post something around with some cornrows and like it's they be cherry picking. Miley Cyrus hung around some black folks and was twerking and stuff. And you know, listen, man, like pop culture is pop culture. But you can't deny that black culture drives pop culture. And usually when that part of black culture infiltrates into pop culture and other people start doing it, it tends to die out with black folks. That tends to happen. It's just crazy, man. And I just feel like I just look at how people were treated differently with certain things, right? And maybe it's a sensitivity to blackness. This I have no issue saying that. Like, this, I could be saying this all wrong. So we got Donald Trump right now, who is just the most hilarious cat in front of a microphone. Look, people, I don't hate Donald Trump. Like, I think he's crazy. Oh, I think he's batty. But I respect Donald Trump much more than I respect other racist people. Let me explain. I prefer somebody that just is outright racist with it, yo. Like, just be you. If that's how you feel, like, be you. I'd rather battle the devil I know. Right? And I think that this is how you know, like, we be having these issues about race and racism and all this crap. I don't know if Donald Trump has a real shot at the ticket. I think the RNC would like figure something out and make sure that that didn't happen some kind of way. Like, by hook or by crook, they're going to get that dude up out of there, right? But it's telling that that dude is leading in the polls of like 14 people. Even with everything he said about Mexicans being rapists and they sending their worst to this country and all that stuff. See, that's the thing, yo. Like, he says things that he believes. I honestly feel like he be putting on a bit thick just for the theater of it. And I think he's like, oh wow, they rocking with that. Like, it's racism is still here. So let's look at Donald Trump, right? So Donald Trump, who is now leading in the Republican polls. Now let's juxtapose this with 50 Cent. I'm sure a lot of people have different feelings about 50 Cent. I actually happen to really like that dude. I like that dude because, like Trump, he is who the hell he is. He was a street hustler. I ain't never been a street hustler in my life, but he was the muscle on the streets. And then he got shot up. Well, he tried to do a rap career, got shot up, then had a really successful rap career, and he got a lot of money. And guess what? He just didn't change. He's just been muscle and a bully. Like, that's who he is. Like, he has always stayed true to who he is. I prefer people just be who they are. and I respect his business prowess. Why am I comparing Donald Trump to 50 Cent? Well, let me tell you, be patient, okay? It's coming. Donald Trump has filed for bankruptcy not once, not twice, but I think four times. Four times he has filed for bankruptcy. And people have never batted an eye about it. They've never had issues with calling him a business genius, which he is. I mean, Trump is not where he is. Like, there's a bunch of reasons why Trump is where he is, but he's a savvy businessman, even though lately, because you can't be saying Mexicans is rapists, he's losing a lot of business. But the point is, he's never been put in a microscope for those decisions. 50 Cent lost a legal battle that he had while he was beefing with somebody. And what he did is he found the sex tape of, like, the dude that he was feuding with, his baby mama. She made a sex tape. She put it out there. And he highlighted that. And in highlighting that, you know, she eventually sued, right? And so she sued and she won, like, she won in court. So he has to pay her $5 million. And what his legal team did, which I think was kind of savvy, was had the Chapter 11 ready to go. As soon as that verdict came down, they filed for Chapter 11 so he could reorder finances in his company and protect himself from, you know, from them continuing to eat from his funds. Now, not really different from anything that Donald Trump has done. Dude, this dude has been—he's been over every website I've gone to. He's been like on the front page of it to talk about how much, like, how far from grace he's fallen and things like that. Listen, as somebody who ain't got $1 million to lose or has never had that, I don't know if I can be, you know, taking somebody to task around their business decisions. But basically, one was seen as a smart business move. The other was seen as a personal failure. Now, I'm not agreeing with how either of them move. I'm not agreeing with what they do personally or anything like that. What I'm showing you is the dichotomy between blackness and whiteness. What I'm showing you is the dichotomy of when a white person can do the seemingly exact same thing as a black person, one can be lauded as a business genius, while the other one can be lauded as a pariah and a failure. Let me give you another example. And this is straight from Facebook, because this meme or these pictures have just been coming up everywhere. I can't escape it. Serena Williams. Oh, Serena Williams. I like Serena Williams, if you didn't know. Serena just won another major title, because she's dope like that. And media folks are talking about how manly she looks. Now, I've heard people say this. I've heard black women call her manly looking. Whatever. That is what it is. The girl is strong. I wouldn't fight her. So, listen, right? I've seen that. And then I think it was D.L. Hughley. It came from him, and then it just kind of spread like wildfire. But he asked a good question. He was like, how is it that when Caitlyn Jenner, who was Bruce Jenner, decided that he wanted to become a she, we allowed her to do that? Now, there was a bunch of things said when that happened. I actually had stuff to say, too. Whatever it is, what it is. Caitlyn can do whatever it is that she wants. But everybody and their mama was talking about how beautiful Caitlyn Jenner was. Just beauty, beauty, beauty. Beautiful. She even got a show that's coming that's talking about this. Whatever. Right? So she's beautiful. But this black woman, who is probably in better shape than 99% of the world, 99%. Of the world, Craig, 99% of people is being told that she looks manly. Come on, man. You have to, because you have to find a way for that woman to lose. Like, she cannot, the black person cannot just win, yo. Like, they will love you and just to tear you down. And with Caitlyn, you gotta find a way for the Kardashians to win. Oh, the Kardashians, they have found ways for the Kardashians to win just for the longest. It's quite interesting. I say I have to say I'm a black person first. But that's just That's just interesting, man. And any and for the record, you know, you all know about my energy converters, work that I've been doing. So Energy Converters is now an LLC. I'm working on building the nonprofit portion of it out. And you want to know why I made an LLC? I didn't have to. I could have just kept going along and saying Energy Converters and leaving it as a hashtag. But you know why? Because if it ever hits the fan, when white folks collectively decide that they don't like me, or black folks, or whomever, or business dries up, or I get a lawsuit, whatever, you know what I can do? My company can carry on that liability. And then I can bust a move like a Donald Trump, or a 50 Cent, or a Walt Disney, or any of these other people that have filed for bankruptcy to, so they can protect their personal assets. That's why those laws exist. Anyway, there should be more. There'll be more coming out about Energy Converter soon. I'm working on some stuff. We'll see. But that leads me to, I was just having these conversations and with some friends, with various friends, with different conversations. And the conversation around, it hovered around confidence and cockiness. And I think I'm a pretty confident person. Like I think to a lot of people, it could come off as cockiness. I do feel that I work really, really hard, and, you know, I have no issue, like, articulating that or saying that. But I'm a really tough critic, right? Like, for myself, you know? Like, really, really tough. And I don't think a lot of people see that. The cockiness piece, like, gets me, right? And it shouldn't. I don't think that it should bother me. But so it just made me think about what's cockiness versus, like, confidence? Because you want to be confident, like, in your work. You want to be confident in what you do and what you add, like, the value that you try to add. You also are you need to be confident when you know something works and you're trying to display that. Like, timidity will not help you in that moment. So I've done a lot of work with young black males. I've seen that work be transformational for those young people. So if I'm explaining what needs to happen or what has happened and worked in the past, I have to do that with an air of confidence so you can take that seriously so we can move forward and help people. But that is something that was curious to me, and I don't think this is just necessarily a black and white thing, but I do think that there's this feeling that when you black, like, you should just be happy that you in the door. Like, you should just be happy that you there. Like, we let you in, just be happy. Damn it, like, you got these scraps. Come on, man, you made your way out the field. Now you in the house, B. Be happy. Be happy I'm letting you, like, go fetch this sweet tea. Nah, man. No. Like, that's not enough. It's not enough for me. And I think, you know, my brother and I talk about this a lot because he runs into it as well. And we talk about how, sorry, y'all, it's work going on outside of my house and you might be able to hear it. But he talks about how it could come off, like, off-putting for other people, right? Because we, like, so hard, like, I'm really hard on myself. So, for instance, like, if you ask me how I'm doing, we have a friendship or an intimacy there, like, I trust you, I know you on some level, like, I'll be honest with you. And I'll be like, dang, this is something that I'm kind of struggling with. I'm trying to, get over the hump. And people may look at that and be like, wait, how you complain about, like, your situation is better than a lot of people's situations. Well, yeah, I guess, I don't know. Like, if you want to compare that to, you know, the people that grew up around me when my parents was on drugs and I was homeless, then yeah, I'm doing better than a lot of people. But that's not my litmus test. That's not my bar, right? Like, that's not what I'm looking to do, you know? And it's just, so, but by me not being satisfied, what I've seen is, like, by me not being satisfied with my status in life or what I'm trying to do or what I'm thriving for, right, is somebody else takes that as an insult. And they use my standard for myself as an indictment on where I think that they are. When the narcissism in me is like the selfishness that I have. Like, I wasn't thinking it. I'm not thinking about you. I'm not that your battle and your struggle is your battle and your struggle. If you ask me to help you, we can talk about that. But I'm not telling you to judge yourself by my standards. We two different people. But it can be like really off-putting, and I think that that comes off like you bragging or something. It's like, I don't know how that's bragging when I'm like miserable, right? Like I'm like the drive that I'm trying to push for myself, like that's a tough place. It can be miserable at times. And I do it, it's hard, right? I didn't really come up with any answer. I know you just kind of hear me spew off stuff about this confidence versus cockiness. But listen, man, I spent the majority of my life with a lot of people just not liking me. And a lot of it's for good reason. It just is. Like, And I think that there's a portion of you that has to really be able to let stuff roll off of you. And I'm not always that person. I'm a really competitive person. Like, I want to beat you. Like, I don't know what it is. It's a drive that I have, especially if you, like, have expressed that you have an issue with me, right? Or that you can do something better than me. I don't know what that is. I just think that that's how I grew up. And that helped me survive where I was at. And I don't know. The internal dilemma is wondering if you should fight that or you should embrace that. I don't know. My answer changes. But I just know I am who I am. And I can't be anybody else. But that whole confidence versus cockiness thing is an interesting piece for me. The next time I have somebody on, I'm going to talk to them about it. Because I want to know how they – I think it would be a good conversation between two people to have that out. But I think that leads me to this whole heroes versus villains thing. I as a kid, I loved comic books. I loved them. I mean, I still love like I've seen every Marvel Universe movie. Like I just escaped in those movies. I still do. I love them. But there's this notion around heroes and villains. And I just never believed in that. I just think life is far more complicated than that. So I don't believe in heroes and villains. I just believe in humans. And humans do good things and they do bad things. I think that if you dig deep enough on anybody, on any person, like you can find some things that are like not flattering. Which is why I really dug on like Mother Teresa. Like that, it's she slapped somebody somewhere in life. I don't know when she was younger. I don't know. I'm not gonna get letters and hate mail about saying that Mother Teresa possibly slapped somebody when she was younger. I don't know. I hope not. I don't know what Mother Teresa's done. But my point is that people are just people, and you do good things and you do bad things. I think we are a combination of those things. Like, there are so many things that I'm just not proud of that I've done. There's so many. So many, right? And they go back. It's a long list, you know? But there are a lot of things that I've done that I'm pretty proud of. And I know, ultimately, I want to do more great things than I have done bad things, right? And I just feel that, you know, what I want to do and what would make me feel like I've done that is if I put more value into my community or into my world than what I've taken from it. But I don't know, man. We talk about these things like Donald Trump and stuff like that. I'm having a lot of fun with Donald Trump. Donald Trump is like funny to me. I think Donald Trump is racist. I think he said some crazy things. I think he could care less about my black stuff, whatever, you know. But if you asking me if a church got blown up, which has happened, and Donald Trump wanted to help rebuild that church, I'd take his money. Now, maybe you won't. That's cool. Maybe you'd have something crazy to say to me about taking his money. That's cool, too. I just one of them people that don't feel like you can say something unless you're giving me money. Let me explain. Let me make that more, let me make that clearer, right? I remember being a kid and, you know, kids used to snap on each other. And so, like, you, like, see a girl. And I remember this, like, they were just snapping on each other, having fun. And he made, you know, a comment about, like, her dress. It was ugly or something like that. And she was like, well, until you buy me a dress, you can't say nothing about my dress. Like, that's how I feel about life. I genuinely have a problem with people counting other people's money. Now, there's a lot of people that got money in some ways they probably shouldn't have got it. there's a lot of like crooks and robbers and folks out there, you know, but you know, an anonymous person just donated $34 million to the city of Oakland. And congratulations to all those organizations that won some money. I know the majority of those organizations and took part in, you know, had played a small, somewhat insignificant role in helping one of those organizations get one of these awards. And now, and the tide has changed from being thankful for this person that has decided to donate $34 million in Oakland, how he or she saw fit, to now saying, well, why didn't they do this? And why didn't they do that? And why didn't they get this money to these groups? And time out. Wait, hold on. Yo, that's their Snicker bar. They can give anybody a bite of that they want. They can do whatever they want with it. Like, how you counting people's money and you not doing it? That's like if I take money from Energy Converters, let's say somebody wanted to give me money to help me change the lives, let's say, of 500 young black men. Who don't we like this week? Let's say in Chevron. Chevron is pretty hated for the most part, right? And let's say Chevron gave me $2 million to do that work. Now, I would take it. Especially if I couldn't find that money anywhere else. But I just have an inherent issue with other folks telling me that I shouldn't have took that money. So should I not taken it and then just not done anything for these kids? Or are you writing me a check? If you are writing me that $2 million check, I will gladly say, here you go. You know what I'm saying? Like, because you do poison communities and all that good stuff. Like, hella kids in Richmond got asthma because of you, and you are slowly cutting the earth. So take your money back. I gladly do it. But you can't tell me what I can and can't take if you're not offering. You can't talk about my dress if you ain't gonna buy one. I mean, that's just tough. I was with Howard Fuller. He's a black revolutionary. He's done a whole bunch of stuff, and he was talking about this issue, and he always says this thing that makes me laugh. He was like, I get up here with these other, like, you know, black educators and these folks in these rooms, and we start arguing about whose white money we gonna accept. So, you know, to do his educational stuff, he takes money from the Waltons, and he was at the Essence Festival, and people were getting at him about taking money from the Waltons, and he said what they were sitting under was the biggest Coca-Cola logo that he had ever seen. It's just interesting, man. And this is not the validity of, like, these horrible corporations, these horrible entities, or whatever the case is. What I am saying is that I think that the majority, not all, I do think that the majority of people have good qualities and bad qualities. I do want to ultimately help people, and I believe in helping people and serving. I've also been out here, and support is hard to come by. It's really difficult, and there are many days that I wish I would have just, changed that MPA to that MBA and really just squeezed out that whole sports agent thing. But that's not who I am. I am who I am. I do this podcast because it's who I am, and I just believe in the things that I say, and I think that people, you know, I know all this stuff would be problematic at some point. I know that somebody will listen to all these things and find these things that I've said, and, like, they will mount that, and that will be how they get me, right? Like, I am not set up for people to like me. I just, like, that's just not it. Like, they will. Like, it's like, oh, like, if I do something well, it'll be early on at a hit and be like, that's a really smart dude, and he cares, and he can speak in front of people, and he can write, and yada, yada, yada. But then when you get too big, when you become that black dude that's a little too big, oh, the fun is in the teardown. And there's enough things in my past. The teardown probably won't be too difficult. But I think that we all got to make a choice. We got to make a choice is if we're a black teacher, are you going for liberation or are you going for the paycheck? We got to make that choice around, yo, if you want to do this Energy Converters thing, how you going to find the money and how you going to do it? Should you do it as a company to protect yourself, or should you just do it out of the kindness of your heart and leave yourself open for any type of financial ruin that could potentially come from that? And for the record, I've been down that road before. One of the reasons I'm not against bankruptcy. That's a different podcast. We got to make a decision around what the difference between confidence and cockiness, and does it even matter? And should you just truck on and do what you feel like you need to do for you and for the people you're trying to help? Or should you succumb to the pressures that society puts on you? And you got to decide whether you believe in heroes and villains. Because if you believe in heroes and villains, then you come up with Bill Cosby, right? You come up with exalting a man. And when he's fallible, when he does something that's terrible, that a lot of people can't fathom, then it's like, we need to destroy everything that he touched. We need to get rid of every semblance of him. So that means no more Cosby Show on television for other generations to appreciate. That means a different world. Like that may go as well because of the touch that he had on it. Does that mean that these historically black colleges that he's put millions of dollars into needs to give that back and deny it? Or does that just mean that he was a man that did a lot of really awesome stuff and also quite potentially did some really terrible stuff? Because when you can look at a person as a human, there's a certain things that you can separate. I'm not here I'm not jumping into that whole thing. You know what I mean? But I think that, and I'm not telling you what decisions you make. I just saw a common thread in the things that I wanted to talk about and how we respond and how we react to it. You got to make that decision for you. Because I tell you what, the more that we got Facebook philosophers, the more that we got folks that's believing that they extreme conservatives and extreme, like, you know, liberals or whatnot, the more that we have folks counting other people's money as opposed to making their own, the more that these kids gonna be out here dying. The more that these homeless people are going to be homeless. The more that these people that's hooked on drugs are going to be hooked on drugs because nobody's working. Everybody just talking and yakking about what somebody else is doing. That's it. So with that being said, I will keep trying to do more of the work. There will be an update on where Energy Converts is doing and what we're trying to do and ways that folks can get involved. And I hope that you all continue to support the show. Hopefully y'all got something out of it. So take care of yourselves. Have a great week.
Yo, and looking at me, you wanna see black, then jump on it. Until the jumps and think they might want it. I might splotch a ride and dump on it. I send a couple of boys to that corner of yours and roll out with a nigga slumped on it. You see black fall back, son. Me and Shock up in a black Regal, no insurance. We like DEA serving warrants. So tell a freak you know to stop pouring. We gon' grab the mics and get them off the wall so everybody in here can stop snoring. You with a safe money, unlock it. Pull it out your pocket. Ben Banneker Bay with the ammo rocket. Black order, all capitals like the sovereign. Girls, get your eyes back up out the socket. Focus, flawless, New York to Europe. To lands where my feet ain't even touch the soil yet. With a movement, the rap solution. It thumps so hard, got a worldwide losing it. Tracks are black for satisfaction. A role of captain, played by Samuel L. Jackson. Yo, ill insanity that's cold and morbid. And when I'm in your orbit, your soul absorb it. A real raw nigga won't fold or forfeit. A thoroughbred gonna enforce it. To reap where the beats at, and where the people like they seats at. For what, cause y'all on it. I'm like Aquaman and Brown Hornet. I'm like Imhotep, but don't flaunt it. Dog reintroducing, master thespian. Hotelling this, elements, MCing. Fuck getting money for real, get freedom. Black on the grind from AM to the PM. Splash up, dash up the X5BM. Motive entertainment, the Philly mob win. We card show, we not dim. With a nigga T3, nigga by 10. When the ML get home, we gon' win. First thing to fall is cash with no chin. The mic, the black hole remains smoking. And ladies up in the place is wide open for real. Know what I'm talking about? Pull it out your pocket. Pull it out your pocket. Pull it out your pocket. Check it out.
You feel this shit, so as they throw it on. You feel this junk, this shit your favorite song.